All right, last week we looked at 2 Kings. We saw the mighty, glorious kingdom of Israel rebel against God, be defeated by their enemies, and were taken away from the promised land. Last week in 2 Kings, we saw Israel and Judah lose the promised land. Incredible tragedy. They were taken away. This is called the exile. The exile. Israel on top was taken away to Assyria. Judah was taken to Babylon. This is called the exile. After 70 years, 70, of exile, the Jewish people were allowed to return to the promised land. We will read about this in the books of Ezra, which Elder Jerry Mills will bring us, and Nehemiah, which I will bring. In your notes, number one, the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles were written probably by Ezra to the Jews that have returned to the promised land after the exile. The books of 1 and 2 Chronicles were written probably by Ezra to the Jews that have returned to the promised land after the exile. 1 and 2 Chronicles are written to the Jews to encourage them to look to their past, learn from their past, and stay true to the Lord. Trinity Baptist Church, 1 and 2 Chronicles are a gift to us. Amen? 1 and 2 Chronicles are a gift to us. These books can help you and I learn from Israel's mistakes and give us the encouragement we need to live for God. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now? You pray that God would open your heart, soften your heart, remove Satan's blinders from your eyes, and make you good soil for his word. Pray that his word would go down deep and bear fruit in your heart, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room? Pray that God would open their hearts, soften their hearts, remove Satan's blinders from their eyes. Pray for the other people in this room that they would be good soil for the Word of God, that the Word would go down deep and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, will you pray for me? 1 Chronicles is awesome. Pray that I would do a great job of giving you an accurate summary of the book, and pray that I would do a great job at delivering God's message from 1 Chronicles to you. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are two books in the Old Testament, Trinity Baptist, two books in the Old Testament that cover the life of the great King David. 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles. If you read them both, you have a complete picture of King David's life. Now, the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are what is called the genealogies. The genealogies. It's a giant family tree. It's a very important part of the book, those first 9 chapters. There's several reasons for that. I only want to mention 2 of them. In your notes, the family tree demonstrates the faithfulness of God. Amen. The family tree demonstrates the faithfulness of God. As you read through the book of 1 Chronicles, you will be tempted to skip these 9 chapters. Don't do that. Don't do that. This family tree demonstrates the faithfulness of God. God is in charge. God is in control. And as you see, as you read King David's line, King David's family tree, as you see King David's family tree preserved sovereignly by God, you see that God keeps his promises. Very important part of the book. In your notes, number 3, the family tree helps you understand and follow along with the whole story of the Bible. The family tree helps you understand and follow along with the whole story of the Bible. You read these first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, and it helps you put the whole Bible together as one big story. Throughout the Old Testament, we read about the Israelites, the Midianites, the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. Who are those people? Where did they come from? The family tree will answer those questions. The giant family tree in the beginning of 1 Chronicles guides you as you read the Old Testament. It is very important. In these 9 chapters, we see Abraham's family tree, Moses' family tree, King David's family tree. As you read these chapters carefully, you learn, if you read them slowly and carefully, you learn how some Bible characters are related to other Bible characters, and it helps you understand the whole Bible. You'd be amazed who's related to who. Who is whose uncle? Who is whose cousin? And you need that information in the family tree. The more you read the Bible all the way through, from cover to cover, listen, please, the more you read the Bible all the way through from cover to cover, the more names you recognize in the family tree. And the more you get out of it, the more it will be a benefit to you. So trust me on that. The first time you read it, you might be a little lost. But if you've read the Bible cover to cover 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times, you recognize the names of people, and it shines light on the whole story. Now the story picks up, the actual story in 1 Chronicles picks up in chapter 10. Chapter 10 is the death of the sinful King Saul. 1 through 9 is the family tree, and 10 picks up the story. Look at the statement in 1 Chronicles 11, chapter 9, up on the screen, or you can follow along. David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. 1 Chronicles, like 2 Samuel, also lists David's mighty men. As you read about these guys, they are amazing. Read that section of 1 Chronicles and watch the stories of these incredible warriors that God gave to David. They're mighty men and their mighty deeds. As 1 Chronicles progresses, King David wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to be with him. It's not with him where he is. He wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant to his home base. So he tries to go get it. He puts the Ark on a cart and pulls the cart with oxen. You'll see that's not the way to carry the Ark, according to the law of Moses. But David puts it on a cart, carries it with oxen. Go ahead and turn with me now to chapter 13, please. And let's find out what happened. Brothers and sisters, I am mentally distracted this morning It doesn't need to happen out loud, but would a few of you please pray for me right now? It doesn't need to be out loud. Just pray for me, please. Amen. 1 Chronicles 13. We'll start with verse 9. Hopefully you have your Bible open to it. 9 on the screen. When they came, they're taking the cart. They've got it on the cart, the ark pulled with oxen. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark because the oxen nearly upset it. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, so he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark. And he died there before God. See, you're not supposed to move the ark that way. And you certainly are not supposed to touch it. So King David was afraid. And they just kept the ark right there. They didn't bring it any further. 1 Chronicles tells us about David's great victories in battle. And in chapter 15, David decides, you know what? The ark needs to be in Jerusalem. I'm going to try this again. So he goes and he gets the ark again. Turn with me to chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, verse 11, and let's see what happens. 1 Chronicles 15, starting with verse 11. Then David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliah, and Aminadab, and said to them, "You are the heads of the fathers' households of the Levites. Consecrate yourselves, both you and your relatives, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place that I have prepared for it. Because you did not carry it at first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance." So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. The sons of the Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders with the poles thereon, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. Look at verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the horn, with trumpets, loud sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. David put the ark in a tent in Jerusalem. They did it properly, so they were successful. David put the ark in a tent in Jerusalem. In chapter 16, we have this beautiful psalm of praise from King David. Look at chapter 16 with me, please. And pick it up with verse 23. "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns." Why are we going through the Old Testament, Trinity Baptist? Why are we taking all this time to go book by book by book? Because the Old Testament gives you a picture of the greatness of God. God is awesome. God is holy. God is majestic. God dwells in inapproachable light. And it is a study of the Old Testament that will give you a proper concept of the greatness of God. It's very, very important, Trinity Baptist, that you have a proper concept of the greatness of God. Read the Old Testament and worship the Lord. Now, the ark was in a tent. King David decided that that was inappropriate. He wanted to build a temple. God's beautiful words to King David are recorded in chapter 17. David said, "I will build a temple for God." And God responds, and God's response is surprising. You would think God would say, "Very good, that's appropriate." But look at chapter 17 with me, Trinity Baptist. Look at chapter 17, starting in verse 7. "Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a name like the name of the great ones who are in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them. So that they may dwell in their own place and not be moved again. And the wicked will not waste them any more as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I tell you," this is God talking to King David. King David says, "I'm going to build a house for God." Look at what God says. "Moreover, I tell you that the Lord will build a house for you." The Lord will build a house for you. You know what is so wonderful about your relationship with God? He does a lot more for you than you will ever do for him. It's not about what you do for God. Primarily, it's about what God has done for you and what God will do for you. I've served the Lord as a pastor for 20 years. And sometimes I get focused on all I am doing for God and all I want to do for God. And all I have to do is read the Old Testament to see that I have hardly scratched the surface. I haven't done anything. It's about what God has done for me. And it's about what God has done for you. We are primarily not here this morning that you may serve the Lord. We are primarily here this morning to celebrate what God has done for us. And David says, "I will build a house for you." And God says, "You know, that's a great idea. But as far as our relationship is concerned, I will build a house for you." When your days are fulfilled, verse 11, "When your days are fulfilled that you must go to be with your fathers, then I will set up one of your descendants after you who will be of your sons. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son, and I will not take my loving kindness away from him as I took it from him who was before you. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever." Incredible word of God to David. Remember, 1st and 2nd Chronicles are written to the Jews after they've been defeated, after they've been taken away from the promised land and then returned. God promised David that there would always be a king from his line to reign in Israel. And you've got to wonder, we looked at 2 Kings last week and you saw king after king after king sin. And finally Israel loses the promised land and goes to Assyria and Babylon. And you've got to be thinking, Israel is sitting there in Babylon or in Assyria. They've got to be thinking, what happened? What happened to God's promises? Here we are in Babylon. What happened to God's promises? And Ezra writes Chronicles to them to remind them that God made this promise to David, and they do not need to worry. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. As Christians today, we can see so much of that whole picture. As Christians today, because we have the New Testament, we know that the descendant of King David that will always reign over Israel forever and ever and ever is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In your notes. Number four, God promised David that the kingdom of David's offspring would last forever. King Jesus our Lord is the fulfillment of that promise. King Jesus our Lord is the fulfillment of that promise. I gave you three verses to support number four. There's so many more. Why don't you keep your finger in 1 Chronicles and turn quickly with me to Luke. It will not be on the screen, so you need to turn there. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke 1, verse 30. Let's back it up to verse 26. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, Gabriel said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." King Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that promise. Well, King David is so overwhelmed by God's awesome word to him that he breaks out in praise. Go back to 1 Chronicles and look with me at chapter 17, verse 16. Chapter 17, verse 16. Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" What an awesome statement of praise that we can all say. We can all say that. "Who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me this far?" Far. Trinity Baptist, God is good and he delights in his goodness to his children. Who are we? Who are we that God has brought us this far? Verse 17. "This was a small thing in your eyes, O God, But you've spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God. What more can David still say to you concerning the honor bestowed on your servant? You know your servant, O Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you have wrought all this greatness. Do you see that, Trinity Baptist? Why was God so good to David? Because it's in God's heart to be good. God is good. You have wrought all this greatness to make known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we've heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make you a name by great and terrible things, in driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed out of Egypt. For your people Israel, you made your own people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. Trinity Baptist, God loves Israel. He loved them then. He loves them today. The psalm says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Elder Michael Tyler, would you please stand and lead us in prayer for Israel today? Amen. Thank you, Michael. In the beginning of Michael's prayer, he talked about us being grafted in. If you don't know what that means, read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Read Galatians. Read Ephesians 2 and 3 and learn that wonderful, wonderful concept that we are grafted in. In chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles, David sinned by taking a census. We saw that in 2 Samuel. The prophet Gad, G-A-D, speaks to King David, and says, that was sin, that census was wrong. God is giving you three choices of punishments. Three choices. Famine, the sword of the Lord, or the sword of your enemies. Famine, the sword of the Lord in the form of a plague, or the sword of your enemies. Those are his choices for punishment. David's response is amazing. Look at chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 13. David said to Gad, that's the prophet, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of men. You see that? David loves God because of his mercy. If I have the choice, says David, between the sword of the Lord and the sword of men, I'm over here. Don't let me go here. I'll place myself in the merciful hands of God, says David. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel. 70,000 men of Israel fell. God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as the angel was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and was sorry over the calamity and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough. Now relax your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. David placed himself in the merciful hands of God, and God was merciful. Do you see it? His enemies wouldn't have spared Jerusalem. But God did. Because God is love. The last part of 1 Chronicles tells the amazing story of King David's all-out dedication to preparing for building the temple. King David collected gold, silver, and bronze for the temple. He makes plans for the temple. He makes plans for the Levites and priests. This was his legacy. The temple was what David wanted to accomplish. This was his goal. He totally devoted himself to God's temple because King David delighted in the Lord. Amen? Look at chapter 28 with me. Chapter 28, verse 2. Then King David rose to his feet and says, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. So I had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he's chosen Judah to be a leader. In the house of Judah, my father's house, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, for the Lord's given me many sons, he's chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts, for I've chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances, as is done now. So now, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and the hearing of our God, observe and seek after the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever.'" David's looking at Solomon, and he says, "I charge you in the presence of all Israel, obey the Lord. As for you, my son, know the God of your father. Serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act." Skip to verse 20. Then David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. One reason, Trinity Baptist, that we go through the Old Testament here on Sunday morning is I want you to see the themes that reappear over and over and over again. Do those words look familiar to you? They should. Over and over and over again, the servant of the Lord is charged, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. The Lord Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, and I will be with you always. Do not fear, Trinity Baptist. God is calling us. God is calling us to spread the gospel to your family, to your neighborhood, to Indio, around the world. Don't be afraid. Take a look at chapter 29, verse 10. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. Who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. From your hand we have given you. We are sojourners before you and tenants, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from you, and all is yours. Magnificent passage of Scripture, brothers and sisters. The Old Testament, we read the Old Testament because we need a proper perspective in life. Amen? Look at what David says. It's not about me. It's all about you. Trinity Baptist. We focus so much on ourselves, don't we? We focus so much on ourselves. And you and I need to read the Old Testament and the New Testament to take our focus off of ourselves and on to our holy, awesome God. Because it's all about Him. All of it. Look what David says. Who am I? I'm nothing. There's something so awesome about reading the Bible over and over again that exalts the Lord in your mind and heart and brings you down to where you ought to be. It's all about God. May the Lord help us not to focus on ourselves and have David's perspective in life. It's all about God. Brothers and sisters, Ezra wrote this book to his fellow Jews because they'd just been through 70 years of exile, crushing defeat at the hands of their enemies, the temple destroyed. Remember Solomon's temple and how awesome it was? The Jew, that was burned to the ground. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? Can you imagine how devastating that would be? Can you imagine how defeated they felt? They burned down the temple. They tore down the wall. They carried away the people in the exile. They lost the promised land. Can you imagine how defeated they were? 70 years later, they were able to come back to the land. When they came back to the land, it was a pile of weeds. And Ezra writes this book, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, to say, don't worry. God loves us. God is in control. God keeps his promises. Maybe you are looking around at the world. You're looking around at your circumstances. You read the news. You look around at the world and you say, what is happening? And you're discouraged. Last point in your notes. God is faithful. God is in control. God keeps his promises. Number 5 in your notes. God is faithful. God is in control. God keeps his promises. Ezra wanted his Jewish brothers and sisters to look at their history, learn from their mistakes. And Trinity Baptist, the Old Testament is written for us, that we can learn from Israel's mistakes and be encouraged. Do not be afraid, and know that God is faithful. God is in control, and God keeps his promises. God promised David that his kingdom would never end. God promised David a dynasty that would never end. And we can see that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. His kingdom will never end, Trinity Baptist. His kingdom will never end. My question to you today is, have you surrendered to the King? Have you surrendered to the King? When John the Baptist preached, he said this. Here's John the Baptist's gospel message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus sent out his 12 to preach the gospel. He said, this is what I want you to share. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So my message to you today, Jesus is King. Surrender to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful book of 1 Chronicles. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would read every word of it and be fed and built up. In Jesus' name, amen.